doesn't ask, we're not asking for any additional funds. This is just kind of getting clarification around some expanded uses of those funds. So,
all right.
Any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I think this is what we've heard from residents, and this is what we would know would be a priority for our community, both these, the before and after, and even the TEAM program. It's, we just know that that's what people want, and we heard it when they lost it, and I think it's the right thing to bring it back.
Yeah, I agree. I think I just am remembering the last year when we identified these things as a priority in terms of helping parents get back to work is having childcare options available. And, you know, I'm already worrying about what's going to happen in the summer because my office is talking about, you know, going back in person now. And so I think I really appreciate you bringing it back to us to give an update so that we, and I think the emails out to let us know when spots are opening up is helpful because then we can share it with community members. But I'm sure you probably have a wait list already. But yeah, just, I think this is great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the key is really trying to have a diversity of offerings because not every offering is going to fit every family. And in the past, when we've run kind of our larger camps, we kind of, that's all we could do. But having these other enrichment options and options for kids of all ages really helps us meet more needs in the community. So we might not be having, you know, 120 kids in camp, but we have a lot of options with, you know, not everybody needs camp, all day camp, but they want some enrichment activities. They want some ways for their kids to engage, you know, parts of the days or parts of the week. So that's what we're really trying to build back at Parks and Recreation. So I could, do you want me to speak to the teen one as well since they're kind of the same, or do you want to?
Yeah, go ahead and speak to the team.
Okay. So last year when we got funding for camp, we really dedicated it towards Camp Tech Willie because that was the highest need we were hearing. But this year we are working, we want to dedicate funds towards teen camp because we're hearing that teens need activities and they're missing the activities they had been participating in prior. Part of it was a capacity issue with staff as well as, you know, we're doing park and play and we're doing lots of other things in the community, but we really wanted to get back to offering our teens some summer program options. So this is bringing back not just teen camp, but really, again, expanding those offerings, having our summer kickoff festival, some other evening activities or drop-in activities and soccer clubs. So trying to create a space to serve more than the 30 kids that could come to camp, but have some other options for teens. And by dedicating this funding towards that way, it'll help kind of bring us back towards where we were providing services previous to the pandemic hitting. So again, the same situation, just wanted to clarify using some of these funds to bring that program back, no impact. Just we'll continue to work with Julie and the finance team on tracking these and making sure that everything that we're including is appropriate for the ARPA rules and regulations. So that's all I have.
Great. I actually had a couple questions.
Sure.
So assuming from the earlier presentation, you are kind of documenting some of the need and maybe some of the requests that come in from parents, that's one. And then on the team program, opportunities for partnerships, right? I heard a lot about the outdoor school program that I believe was approved in the state budget.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of opportunity to think innovatively about the programs. And if, let's say, we can't directly get the program, can we secure some spots for youth in this community? Some of that historically has either come through the schools, but I know that they're branching out a whole lot more. And I believe 2 years ago, Tukwila Elementary had canceled their fifth grade camp, which was like a rite of passage for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so really kind of building on the opportunities that are presented Just thinking, and maybe this is not fair, but, you know, when I was young, we had a range of options to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had soccer, we had soccer camp, we had other programs, we had Outward Bound, right? And so my hope is that we are being creative in the partnerships that are there, because I've heard a lot of organizations looking for partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can kind of get out of our traditional model and think about the kids in this community and the opportunity it presents for them to have not only the experience at our facilities, but also an experience that's out of their neighborhood, maybe even
yeah.
out of their city. And so those are the things that at least I'm interested in, and partnership opportunities. And then I guess the last thing is just, I mean, everybody's going to be scrambling for, you know, programs. I know we were from winter break, and
mm-hmm.
we kind of have the, well, I have the privilege of having time off, which means that I'm there with the kids, and that's not, it's enriching, but not quite as enriching as But I also think, I say all this to say, we have relationships with folks that participate in the program, but there's a lot of people in this city that don't know what's available, what options there are. And then when you're in a panic situation, you even have less time. So I'd love to kind of hear how you are continuing to promote, expand, and partner so that folks are aware of these options.
Yeah, I would say that the items we presented today were using the city ARPA funds. And we presented to you not too long ago about some additional funding we were getting through OSPI, AWC, and Washington Recreation Parks Association. So those are, again, funds that we'll use for summer enrichment programming. There is an outdoor recreation program that we're trying to establish because we think that's a great way to get kids out and in nature, and that's super important to kind of the work we do and to the health of the community. So that's another opportunity that's not even really has not covered in these items. We're working with our partners like Skyhawks to offer sports camps. We through the other funding, we also have the kind of stewardship and restoration kind of leadership programs that are really teen-based, where we hire teen people to work in those programs through Partners in Employment and the Burmese community group that's working with Olena on restoration projects. So we really are looking to expand partners in the community, and we're always willing to, you know, hear other people's ideas for, you know, what programs they have. And, you know, we're better together. We're better. We don't always have to lead. We're happy to have a supportive role in any of these programs and help promote them and collaborate on spaces or just getting the word out. I think, you know, by getting ahead, you know, last year we were a little behind because of when funding came. So now we're really kind of ahead. We've got our seasonal positions posted. We kind of know what road we're heading on. And so as we have these opportunities, we can get the word out better to the community and quicker and through a variety of means. We'll also have our free summer, not our playground program, but our park and play program that will bring meals out to sites as well. And with that one, we know there's other community partners doing that work. So we want to gather those people and be a resource for the community. Maybe have a one flyer. Here's the things the city's doing. Here's other organizations. So people have choices and they know all the options. So we'll be working on building out our website, working out our communication plan. We've been using banners. We just posted banners up to let community members know about seasonal job opportunities. And we actually mailed postcards to about those opportunities to homes in Tukwila where there was a child age 5 to 17. We really are trying some different methodologies to get the word out, and we'll continue to work on, you know, some of the equity pieces, making sure our flyers are in multi-languages and that we have resources to help support those families. So lots
Great.
Going on.
Thank you. Other questions?
have one.
Okay.
So the ARPA funds for both the before and after school program and the summer camp program, that helps fund the program through the year 24?
No, those were just for this year, just through the end of this year.
Oh.
So right. That was the funding. Yeah,
we don't have budget authority. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. We don't have budget authority for 23 or 24.
Yeah.
So okay. That'll be part of the budget discussions to do you want to continue ARPA funding for these programs or find a different revenue source?
Okay. Thank you.
What does the funding for increasing the teen programming in the summer go towards? Is it additional staffing? Is it for like paying an outside organization to come and do programming inside? I'm just curious what we're increasing the program, but this is what it's actually paying for.
Yeah, really it helps us hire back seasonal staff to run these programs, all these programs. That's our biggest cost. We do spend it on in some of the programs if we're paying for activities for the kids or supplies and equipment that might be needed. But it's really it's all program direct costs. And the largest of that is seasonal staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few young people that have participated every year. They all have names and personalities, and every now and then we'll get out and we'll, at least my child will say, oh, there's such and such.
Yeah, at like the mall.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I dreamed of having a job at Parks when I was in high school. Shakey's Pizza. That is what they're doing. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we will move on to item E. And how timely. because of the newspaper article, a little discussion on Monday night, a lot of quality information. So you have the floor.
All right. So it's always fun to talk about property taxes, which are incredibly complicated in the state of Washington. And before we get into this topic, I do want to point out to this group that I thought I started the recording at 5:30.
Yeah.
And I realized a quarter till I didn't, so Ms. Bianchi actually hit record for me. I wasn't able to, so I just wanted that for the record that the first 15 minutes were not recorded. So apologize for that. So anyway, getting on talking about property taxes, because yes, it's a bit of a hot topic here. So I tried to provide just a little bit of a background on what is taxed in the state of Washington and what is not. So generally, per state law, all real and personal property in the state of Washington is subject to property tax. And it's supposed to be on 100% fair market value of your property. The county will go out every so often and reassess the assessed value to make sure that it is at 100%, because that is the way it's supposed to work. And then to take that further, Washington State Constitution requires all taxes on real estate to be uniform within a taxing district. So what that means is as a city, we have to levy the same tax rate on every parcel in the city. We can't levy one rate on commercial and another levy on residential, or one levy rate on the north part of the city and a different on, it's got to be uniform across the entire city. The state constitution does exempt certain property from being taxable, and it's mostly from government agencies, so the United States, counties, school districts, and other municipal corporations such as us. We are exempted from paying property tax per the constitution. The legislature also exempted a few other things, so you don't have to pay tax on business inventory, household goods and personal effects. Churches in the grounds were also exempted, hospitals, private schools and colleges, and then tribal lands that are used for essential government services were also exempted per state law. There's another exemption in state law. The current state law does authorize property tax relief if it's a principal resident and you're a senior citizen or somebody that retired by reason of disability if you meet certain income thresholds. So if you meet those qualifications, you can apply through King County. And basically what that means is you're exempt from paying most of the voter-approved property taxes. You still have to pay the non-voter-approved, but it's a significant reduction for those. So within the city of Tukwila, when you get your tax bill, you don't pay just for the city of Tukwila. There's a number of taxing authorities that you pay for within the city of Keppel is, so you pay your state school fund, which includes the McCleary Act. You pay the local school district. And in Tukwila, it's a little bit messy because our city is long and skinny, but we actually have six different school districts that are within. So depending on which school district you're in, that is going to determine what your total levy rate is. So most people are in this Tukwila School District, but if you're in the North Rend, you could be Seattle School District, you could be Highline School District. There's a pocket off on the east side that's in the Renton School District. There's part of the south that's the Kent District. And I want to say the sixth school district, I could be wrong, but I think it's Burien, but there are six school districts that we, and so where you live, you don't pay property taxes to every school district, just the school district for your boundary. On the bottom of the page, or in the page two, I have two charts that I snipped in. This is straight off of the county website. And this is a parcel that's located in the Tukwila School District. This is actually City Hall. So if you pull up the City Hall property, you can see the levy rate for both 2022 and 2021. Again, this is straight off the county website. And if you look at the top, it says tax year 2022. The total levy rate for 2022 is $12 and rounding up just 9 cents. The total senior rate, the senior slash disabled rate, is $5.82. And this pie chart shows exactly who you're paying property taxes to and what the total dollar amount is. And you see at the very bottom of this for 2022, 56.42% is voter approved. Most of this is the school district. Part of it is ours. It's the excess levy for the public safety plan. Also regional, the regional RST, which is regional sound transit, that is also voter approved. And if you compare this to 2021, you'll see that the total levy rate did go up for the Tukwila school district parcels. So in 2021, it was $11.98 as opposed to 2022, which is $12.09. The total senior rate actually went down. I went down from $6.28 down to $5.82. And back in 2021, 51.99% is voter approved. So a little bit more voter approved in 2022. The city of Tukwila, our rate went from $2.67 to $2.72, the 1.62% increase for the city of Tukwila. Yes.
Crossing, if I can, just to clarify, the senior rate is only available if you apply for it.
Correct. It is not an automatic given.
Okay.
And you apply through King County, you don't apply to the individual taxing jurisdictions.
And you got to meet certain income.
You have to be below certain income thresholds, yes. Which, and I believe you have to reapply every so often. It's not a permanent exemption.
Like a married joint couple, it's like $56,000. You got to be under that, and that includes your full Social Security benefits. And so it can be a little bit challenging to meet.
Anyway, so the levy rate for the city, again, increased just over 4 cents, so 1.62%. The state and local levies, as an example, were $7.03, which is 58.2% of your total tax levy. So more than half of your tax bill does go to schools. And then again, just want to point out that the senior disabled rate decreased in 2022 from 2021. So that's if you're in this Tukwila school district, this is who you're paying taxes to, and you can go in and see which taxing entity increased or decreased. On page three, I put in, this is in the city of Tukwila, but it's a different school district. It's up in the north. I believe it's the Seattle School District. And you can see that the total tax levy rate for a parcel located in that school district is lower. It's $9.66, which is a decrease from 2021, which in 2021, it was $10.04. So again, the school district really makes a big difference of how much property tax you're going to pay. The other thing that I want to mention is, yes?
Just a clarification. I mean, larger school districts could have more property to assess, which could impact the amount that you pay.
Correct. Yes, plus they touch other cities. Like the Seattle School District would be in multiple cities possibly, not just the city of Seattle and the city of Tukwila. The percent increase on your personal property tax bill not only depends on the tax levy rate, that is in effect for the tax year, but the change also is dependent on the change in your assessed value compared to the assessed value of everybody else in that taxing jurisdiction. So if everybody went up exactly the same percentage, everybody would experience the same percent increase. But that's not how assessed valuation changes. You have certain neighborhoods that grow higher. You have other neighborhoods that might not grow as much. You may even have a random parcel that decreases for whatever reason. And when the people that have a higher increase in assessed value have a higher increase in your total tax bill.
Questions on that?
trying to figure out a way to sum that up in
comments. Well, the property taxes might jump, looks like about 10%. Property appreciated about 15% this last year. Nobody wants to hear that because the tax increase comes out of your pocket and depreciation doesn't come out of your pocket. So you can't do a lot with a paper appreciation.
Correct.
I'm not shocked by it. When I got my tax bill, I think people were upset because it just bites into a family budget. You know, but I don't know what to say. It just kind of is what it is. You know, the schools need money to operate on. Our market is hotter, staying hot, and probably going to continue to stay hot. And we'll probably see more of this because the assessed value is going to continue to go. You know, I mean, a year ago, I remember hearing that they projected in the next 10 years 1 million people moving to the area, the greater Puget Sound area. Well, that's just going to do a lot to supply and demand. And so property values, this as close as we are to a major metropolitan, it's going to continue to happen. So it's not a trend that I see reversing, and so I'm not as shocked to see it happening.
So can you explain, just maybe give an example of how the rate applies? Like, so I know it's a math problem, but can you explain, like, what is multiplied by the levy rate? Like, you have the assessed value of a home,
yes,
and you have the levy rate. So
yes,
how
so
does
basically
that
what you do is you take your assessed valuation. So if your assessed valuation is $500,000, you divide it by 1,000. That's just a math problem. You divide it by 1,000 and multiply by the levy rate. So if your property is valued at $500,000, divide by 1,000 to get $500. $500 times whichever levy rate you qualify for, that's your tax bill. And I will say, this is the tax levy. There are some other fees and charges included in your tax bill, so the math doesn't work out exactly because there's like I should have had a copy of a tax bill, but there's like a noxious weed fee that's charged, or surface water charge.
RTA.
Is on there. I think there's an RTA that's a fee. So there's other fees that are assessed.
It helps pay for life.
So this is just the property tax levy piece of your tax bill, which is the vast majority of the bill.
Yeah.
And I will say the fees are not exempted per state law. So we as a city, we do pay the property tax on those fees. So we pay the noxious weed and all of our properties and the surface water. We're not exempt from that, just from the property tax itself.
So for the record, and thanks, Councilor Dillis, and also Council President Cloud, it's if you have a $500,000 house, you divide it by
1,000,
and then you look at the rate, and then that's the dollar amount.
Correct.
And so I think Councilmember Cloud talked about it a bit, and this ties into a lot of the work that we're also involved in, whether it be knowing that the housing supply is a significant shortage, so you're actually looking at affordable housing. Supply and demand, if 1 million people are going to come live here, and it's finally arrived in Tukwila, where it turns into a bidding war, and I think we've probably all seen it, depending on our neighborhoods, of seeing not only what we paid for, but to see how significantly it's increased in 1 year. And I know folks talk about, you know, we want our property values to go up. But when your property values go up, your property tax also goes up depending on where you live.
Yep. relative to how your neighbors go up.
Right. And I don't, for years and years and years and years, people didn't know this area and its accessibility, but the secret's out, and it's hard. We can't put that back in the box.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a more continuing trend of when a house is on the market. One just example, there was a house down the street from my house, and it was not well made and not well kept. It went double what it was originally gone for, and that's taking it on the chin of kind of your living arrangements. But we all recognize, I don't know about y'all, but my dad bought 4 different houses in his professional career. Not going to be that way for me.
But not here.
Not here. And so the piece is, yeah, because of the proximity to jobs. So,
yeah. And you know, the other thing I, in hindsight, I should have added this to the memo and I didn't think about it until this conversation, but I think the other thing that's really important to note is that state law does restrict the increase each taxing agency can do annually. And we are legally restricted to a 1% increase plus new construction. We cannot exceed that without voter approval. So for us, our tax levy went up 1.62%. The 1% is the annual increase we get. The 0.62% is the excess levy to repay our debt. We levy the amount of whatever our annual debt service is going to be. So that's the account for that. Anything above that has to be voter approved. And that's why when you see for the city of Tukwila, the Tukwila School District, 56% is voter approved. So when anytime you say yes to a bond issue, that is going to significantly increase the property taxes.
Well, and being limited to the 1% doesn't also allow you to go to inflation. Like, we're all catching inflation. It's real now. And so Tukwila's costs or Tukwila's ability to recover dollars lost are limited to 1%.
Exactly.
So we had that discussion come up in our budget talks, and that's the 1% levy lid. But can you even see voters saying, yeah, go ahead and do it 2%? I mean, this is uncomfortable already for them.
You know, I think, and this is just from what I've seen out there, is people will say yes to a levy lift if it's for a reason that they believe in. You know, there have been a lot of agencies are successful with public safety levies. You know, we want to do a levy lift specific to police or police and fire or fire. There's been cities that have been very successful getting levy rate increases for parks. So if it's something that voters can understand and see the benefit for, they can and have said yes throughout the state. There's actually a voter database in MRSC, which is a really wonderful tool for government agencies. And there's a database of all the different voters, voter-approved measures, those that have failed, those that have passed throughout the state. And you can go through and see where voters have said yes. And then sometimes it's been by some pretty significant margins.
Okay.
Right. Yes. We'll come to the end. And, you know, this was so valuable, and I'm hoping that we can then bring it to us as well.
It's actually tonight on the...
Okay.
It'll be back.
Oh, great.
Cynthia's going to summarize.
Oh.
Not just kidding.
And I'll just get up and I'll say,
well, come
from
the
right.
Exactly. I was going to summarize. Well,
bring my notes.
Right. You did the math part, right? Can you put in your math?
The equation.
Great.
That's what you'll share. The equation is next.
Did you know?
All right. Well, that we've come to the end of our agenda. Is there any miscellaneous? All right, not seeing none. Thank you. We are. Okay.